Hi, and welcome to this week's Three Legs, Four Wheels F1 podcast. It's Paul here with...
Kieran.
And Lee.
And this week we are joined by our special guest, first time on the show. Please welcome the, what do we say, F1 author and poet, Anita Driver. Anita, great to have you on.
Yeah, thanks for having me on your podcast.
And we weren't expecting that voice.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if you knew I was a man. I've done a number of interviews, so that information's out there. But I am indeed a man.
I had no idea, and when you clicked your cam on before, and because no one else had said anything, I thought, well, everyone else must have got the memos, but apart from me, so I should probably say nothing.
I'm a little disappointed that Sean isn't on, because I have this theory that it's only men who are surprised that I'm a man. I got to imagine that when women read my book, they're like, this was definitely written by someone who knows nothing about what turns on a woman.
Oh, she didn't not pick a good time to... Hang on, she's disappeared upstairs having an early night. What the hell's she reading up there? Yeah, questions will be asked in Three Legs Towers later about that one.
She's going to love you for suggesting that.
I'm just checking, did you take a Kindle? So, Anita, or whatever you'd like us to call you, you've written two books in the Danny Rick series. Three children's books are up to now, with the Lewis Hamilton goes to Ferrari in a cat in a hat kind of style, and the one that's had a great reaction is the poetry book. Everyone that I've shown that to and has read any of the poems in there absolutely love it. In fact, I got a message from a friend of mine, Carl. He said the Suck My Balls is now his favourite poem of all time. And
I'm pretty surprised by the reaction. I thought that it was a little bit too weird. You know, like, I thought it was funny to me, but I didn't think anybody else would like it. So the reaction has been pretty incredible and very much a surprise.
Yeah, fuck me. If you think it was weird and nobody else would like it, you'll fit right in on this show with our listeners.
Perfect.
I've got to ask the million-dollar question. I'm going to take this one first. Why Danny Rick?
Okay, so the idea for that book, it came up a couple of years ago. It had been announced that Daniel was not going to be returning to McLaren for the final year of his contract. And the other open seats on the grid were all slowly getting filled up, and it started looking like he just wasn't going to be in F1 anymore. And there were a lot of disappointed fans, and some of them were saying some pretty ridiculous stuff on social media. Like, I remember reading somebody who said, oh, maybe he's going to be the reserve driver at Mercedes, and Lewis is having a bad season. Maybe he'll retire. And then Daniel will be in that seat next year, and he'll be fighting for a world championship. And this is like the best thing that's ever happened to him. And I thought, that's ridiculous. That's like a fantasy. That's fan fiction. And the second I thought of fan fiction, I thought, oh yeah, I bet some spicy Danny Rick fan fiction would do pretty well. Somebody should write that. And then I thought, well, surely I am somebody.
There is profit to be made in that bare neck.
You know, I really wasn't thinking about it being profitable. I thought it would be funny. Like, I knew that, it was an idea that people would get a chuckle out of, but it's so hard to gain any traction on social media. I wasn't sure that anyone would even see it, but if they did, I thought they'd have a good laugh at the idea of it and not actually part with their hard-earned money to buy it. So I really was just hoping to sell one copy so that I could call myself a published author. That was the total of my aspirations.
Well, you certainly achieved that. I know that because I actually bought a copy of Overtake My Heart so we could read it on the show.
We're dream makers at Three Legs, Four Wheels.
Really appreciate the support. It's funny, though, because my dad is an actual... He's a retired journalist, and he has put out one book, and it's a book that he spent 8 years working on, very much a labor of love. And as it turns out, I'm the best-selling author in the family.
Your dad didn't write Stop, Drop, and Stroll by himself, did he? You know, that's...
He spent a lot of time, all along. He spent a lot of time writing a real book, and that's where he went wrong.
What topic was his book on?
His book is about vintage rock keyboards. So it's this beautiful, like, large format, coffee table style book that chronicles the history of some of the most important keyboards in rock music. So it's a great book for a very small niche audience.
Cool.
What's it called? I'm not looking on Amazon right now as a...
It's called Classic Keys.
That's the one I am looking at. Yeah, I might end up getting a copy of that, actually. That looks right up my street. There is a definite musician element to this show as well.
Perfect.
I'm in a band. Lee's in a band. Oh, I meant to say, I'm in a band again.
Oh, that's good. Congrats.
Yeah, I rejoined this afternoon, and Kieran has I think it's two music shows now on radio. The new music show and the breakfast show.
Thank you for not listing the failed exploits of Honest Monica 2007 to later 2007. Yeah, no, I've got two radio shows. I've got a new music show and a breakfast show.
Very cool.
And Chris, who another one on the team who can't be with us tonight, he's God knows how many bands and projects he's got going at the moment. So yeah, we are a vaguely musical crowd, and Sean, of course, co-hosts the breakfast show on the local radio station over here as well. So I think music geeks is probably the best way to describe a lot of us as well, alongside Formula One.
It's slightly amusing that. This is a slightly off topic, and sorry that you happen to hear this, Anita, but it's slightly amusing that on this podcast contains two people who do the only two breakfast shows on the two biggest islands of the Great British Isles.
That's some boast.
Yeah. One for the old LinkedIn. I'll be mildly offended on Sean's behalf as well at that point, but that I'd even come up with that. But yeah, back to you, Anita. So you've written five books, is it now?
Six.
So the new one is the poetry book, which is.
Called... Oh, you didn't see the Dr. Seuss one, or the races you will throw.
Oh no, yeah, sorry.
Yes, that one turned up out of the blue last week.
Yeah, I came up with that idea as soon as I heard that Lewis had signed with Ferrari, and it was just a rush against the clock because I knew that if Ferrari had a really good season, then that book wouldn't make any sense anymore. So it's like, I got to get it out now.
I mean, we have been known over the last 8 and a bit years to kind of rip Ferrari a new one every race?
Near enough. That's about the error rating, isn't it?
About then, yeah. So, there is nothing in that book that is actually wrong.
Yeah, it's very factual.
The illustrations are fantastic as well. Did you get those commissioned yourself or do those yourself? Is more than one string to your bow and you're an illustrator as well as a writer?
No, so I write the books myself, but for the illustrations, I do use AI.
Okay.
Yeah, but everyone does these days.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. I have basically had my main job taken by AI, so I feel entitled to use it now. It's like, if I'm losing my job, so is everyone.
And that is the cry of everyone who works in the IT industry right this minute, including me.
So yeah, I was pretty upset about it, and then I realized I didn't want to be like a blacksmith 100 years ago, you know, complaining like, if people drive cars, who's going to buy my horseshoes? Like, yeah.
You know
so
what?
You're not going to buy that one.
You know what? I think we've just got a title for this week's show.
So obviously, every single title, every bit has its own sort of like in-house, you know, in what's it called, in joke, you know, like a terrible a wink at the listener, the reader, or what. How do you zero? Because there must be like 100 ideas per race that you have. How do you zero in on the ones that you actually want to write about and think, you know, people want to read about?
Well, I've definitely sort of just trusted my own instincts. You know, I think about what's funny to me. I'm not really thinking about what's going to be popular or marketable or anything like that. If it's funny to me, I'll run with it. And even if it doesn't sell, like I have a good time putting these books together. Yeah. And the poetry book is a good example of that, because I really thought it was too weird for anyone else to like, but I thought it was funny. So I ran with it and was just pleasantly surprised to see how well it did. But yeah, it's all about trying to entertain myself. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing with sort of anyone creating, rather than creating to order. You know, if you don't like it, then it's not worth putting out. As far as I can see, you know, you could write a song that people think's the best thing in the world, and you might think it's an absolute pile of garbage, and just scrap it because it's not something you want to put your name to because you haven't enjoyed it. And yeah, sure. we can tell from sort of what you put out that you are having a laugh, and that is far and away the best way to go about it, I think.
It is funny though how some people take certain parts of the book seriously. Like in the first Danny Rick book, Overtake My Heart, I talk about Foster's beer and Outback Steakhouse and Bloomin' Onions. And I got a lot of emails and reviews from Australians saying, like, we don't drink Foster's. We don't have Outback Steakhouse here. And it's like, how did you take any part of this book seriously? But it's interesting to me because the fact that they don't actually have those things in Australia is the joke. But they miss it because they try to take it too seriously.
I think the problem is with Australians and Fosters. They've had this sort of cliched image of the Aussie and the cork hat drinking Fosters since Paul Hogan used to advertise it. And, you know, it's like not everyone in England drinks tea. It's one of them.
Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure because I lived in England for 30 years and I don't drink tea.
Oh, wow. I don't understand how somebody can go through a day without having at least one cup of tea.
I mean, I'm from Yorkshire as well, and everyone says, you know, why don't you drink Yorkshire tea? It's like, I don't like tea. And it's not all that Yorkshire, you know, they're out the tea mines in Keighley or something.
You're like an Australian who doesn't drink Foster's. We've learned. I didn't start drinking tea heavily till I was about 26, 27, I think. Yeah, I mean, it's not what I'm putting on my Tinder profile, I know, but...
Yeah, I wouldn't put anything on the Tinder profile.
I'd put anything on the Tinder profile, you know, yeah.
Yeah, Jane might not be impressed with that.
Okay, the CV, the LinkedIn. It's not a very good thing I lie to you, is it? I started drinking tea when I was 26. Well, firstly, who are you? Can they get off our show? Yeah. Sorry, just very seriously clarify that I don't have a Tinder profile at this point.
Yeah.
My name doesn't rhyme with... No, I'm not going to say it. But, you know. Him.
So, anyway, where were we?
Leave the interview, you said, Paul. You're a radio person, yeah. You said, Paul.
Got the Kieran, do some radioing.
When did you first... Here's Coldplay's new track. No, thank God it isn't. When did you first get into F1, Anita?
Well, I grew up in Detroit, so a lot of my family has worked in the car industry. So cars and motorsports has just always been part of life. But growing up in the US, you know, of course, F1 just isn't as popular here. So I grew up going to IndyCar races, and I was always like aware of F1. I used to watch Top Gear a lot, so I was seeing a lot of the F1 stars go on that show and drive their Suzuki or whatever it was. So it was the kind of thing where I'd watch a couple of races a year, but I wasn't super into it until maybe 5 or 6 years ago. It's a really fun sport, especially because it's accessible. You know, if you think about a lot of other sports where you've got maybe 30 teams to pay attention to, and each team has, you know, depending on the sport, like 20 to 80 players, and just trying to follow along, it's tough. But Formula is actually pretty easy. You know, you've only got 20 drivers, 10 teams to worry about. Without having it take up your entire life, you can be very in the know. And I think that makes it so much more exciting, you know?
Yeah.
It's not just the black cars in front of the blue car. You know, it's Max and Lewis going wheel to wheel into turn one, and you remember what happened last weekend at Silverstone. And yeah, it just makes it a lot more exciting to know all of the characters.
Did you do you still follow IndyCar?
I do a bit, yeah. It's so much harder though, with like the drivers coming in and out for certain races and stuff.
Yeah, I'm sort of quite interested to see how, I guess, a more modern F1 fan in America treats it compared to IndyCar, which I think if you were to sit European audiences in front of IndyCar nowadays and F1, people find the better racing in IndyCar. So it's quite interesting to see that from a US perspective.
Yeah, it's I think that there's definitely some pros and cons to both approaches. Like, I enjoy the engineering challenge of Formula One and seeing that technology race throughout the season to, you know, who can deliver the best upgrades. I think that adds some intrigue, but it's also kind of cool to see the drivers competing on more of an even playing field. You know, like there's a lot of questions about, well, how would Lando compare to Max in the same car? And we might just never know.
I guess if they both have a crack at the 500 1 year, we might actually get to find out. But yeah, I mean, it's interesting saying that with IndyCar, with it being sort of a lot better racing and a lot more passing. I mean, you know, that is definitely one of the benefits of a spec series, which is, you know, which is what it is. I think the only difference is really the two different engines that are out there.
Right.
And, you know, a lot of it does come down to driver skill, and Grosjean still bins it repeatedly.
Some things are canon. Some things cross over. Marcus Ericsson being crap in F1 but decent in IndyCar, you know, that crossed over a weird way. Some things just, they stay the same.
Mm, yeah, nobody was expecting him to get wins, let alone the 500.
Yeah.
At least he's been less on fire.
Ah, yeah, but... they're still using a methanol-based fuel, so it's an invisible flame, so you can't actually tell if he's on fire.
It's validation. have you ever had experience in writing things which aren't F1 related?
Not really. So I own some websites and I've had to write some content for them, but I don't know that I would consider writing a blog post real writing.
Right.
But the one thing that I did have going for me is with my dad being a journalist, he read all of my papers for school when I was growing up. So I probably learned a lot more about writing from him than I ever did in school. You might not know it from reading Overtake My Heart, but honestly, I'm not going to lie. I kind of phoned it in on that book. Like, I didn't think anyone was ever going to read it. So why would I take like a lot of time and care to make it really good? For example, I was proofreading it and I realized that there was an inconsistency in the story. And I thought, nobody's going to read it. Who cares? And I left it. And now people call me out on it on reviews and on the radio. So I put a little more effort into my future books. But sometimes when I read the first one, it makes me cringe. I should have worded that better. I shouldn't have had two chapter fives, which is true in some of the early copies of it. I've since fixed that.
We're gonna have to look for the plot hole when we get that far into the reading. If you don't mind us carrying on serializing it for our patrons, that is.
No, go ahead.
At one point, Daniel Ricciardo just turns into Liam Lawson.
I just want to say, if you're not a Patreon subscriber and you want to understand what we're going on about with the readings, which is in no way based or ripped off of any other podcast where somebody reads an adult novel and other people comment on it. We haven't stolen that idea in the slightest. You can subscribe at patreon.com/threelegs4wheels. And it's an interesting listen, isn't it?
It's good fun hearing it read out. I mean, look, it's not the highest art of sexiness. I hope you'd agree with that.
It's being read out in a broad Yorkshire accent by somebody who hasn't actually pre-read it, so no.
But it's good fun. It's entertaining. We enjoy it a lot.
Yeah, I mean,
good. I'm glad you enjoy it, and I'm glad you're not disappointed at the level of smut. I think most of the bad reviews I have on Amazon are from people who are disappointed that it wasn't dirtier.
I mean, you know, there's a few people that we've got to thank for finding this for us. I think there was a couple of people that found Overtake My Heart at the same time, and just want to say thank you to Pixie Sticks and to Jana, who both sent us the details of the book within about 2 hours of each other. Jana, who is actually from your neck of the woods in Michigan.
So, oh, really? I grew up in Michigan, yeah.
Yeah, so is it available in local bookshops? That's the question.
It is not, and I'm pretty upset about that.
I mean, Amazon is everyone's local bookshop nowadays, isn't it?
Yeah, that's true.
Look at it that way. Sure, I imagine they take about 94% of profits, but, you know, it's there.
So what does the future hold? Are we going to get book 3 in the Thick Rick series? That is the question that everybody's wanting us to ask.
Well, you've committed to 69. So
yes.
It does say book 1, book 2 of 69, which is either a cheap gag or a very long project
or a massive misprint.
Can't it be both?
You're sat there at book 26 going, for fuck's sake. Should have said 7.
So I've been thinking about this. I don't know that I can put 69 books together with the level of quality my fans have come to expect and get them all in before people forget about who Daniel Ricciardo is, right? So I started thinking, like, they did Star Wars out of order, right?
Yeah.
I feel there's a murder mystery. There's a murder mystery somewhere where one of the Red Bull young drivers kills Daniel Ricciardo to get his rare RB seat to push the story forwards.
That is a really good idea. I love that idea. So I'd already decided that book 69 was going to be called Space Race to Planet Love. Thick Rick goes full throttle on Uranus. but like, I don't know if I can write the 68 books before that, before everyone forgets about who Daniel Ricciardo is, and honestly, before I die. So I thought, well, Star Wars went all out of order. Like, maybe I can just skip to book 69 and get it over with.
I can't wait to see that one in print. And I shall read that with rubber gloves on.
For like 10 different reasons, I'm assuming.
Choose your own.
Want the pages to stick?
Yeah.
Sorry.
So we'll see how many more Thick Rick books there are. On one hand, it kind of, when I wrote the first book, I wrote one of 69 as a joke. I did not expect there to be any follow-ups. So I really went for broke. Like, I used all of my best dick jokes. And then when it came time to write book number two, I thought, oh man, if I'd known I was writing another, I probably would have held some dick jokes back so that there'd be something to put in this book. So I wasn't actually sure I could do it. But as I started writing, the jokes, the innuendos, they just came to me. So maybe I can put more out, but at least at the moment, I feel a little bit spent. But I do have other book ideas. In fact, I was working on a book that was making fun of Ferrari for being incompetent when the Lewis Hamilton to Ferrari news broke. And I stopped working on it to write, Oh, the Races You'll Blow. And I've also got Charles Leclerc and the Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Monaco Grand Prix. So part of me is thinking, can I really put out a third book about how awful Ferrari is? And I think the answer is yes.
Yep.
So 100%. That might be the next one that comes out.
I mean, there's 24 races this season, so you could probably get another, well, we've had two so far, you can get another 22 books out of it.
Yeah,
absolutely. I mean, they screw something up every weekend, it seems like.
To be fair, though, I feel Mercedes might be about to take their moniker for fucking things up, considering they've just come out and said that there's something fundamentally wrong with this car now, too.
That's a good point. Well, there's plenty of books to be written about all of the teams. I should be an equal opportunity satirist, I think.
I mean, Alpine this year is primo content.
No, Alpine this year is snuff.
I feel so bad for those drivers.
I do, and then I remember it's Ocon and sorry, I've got a cold. My brain keeps going on me. Gasly, yeah. And then I instantly don't feel sorry for them anymore.
I've sort of softly thought that Gasly should never have been in F1 in the first place, which is kind of harsh given he's a race winner, and when he was at AlphaTauri in 2020 and 2021 he was quite good. But I kind of think he's lucky to get that seat given in F2. He nearly got beaten by a subpar Antonio Giovinazzi.
Yeah,
and he should be hanging around.
Teammate Ocon.
Yeah. They're very much, you know, 6 out of 10 at best. Drivers, yeah. You know.
Yeah,
if they were a band at a festival, I wouldn't walk away from them, but I might go for get a couple of drinks throughout them.
Yeah, I mean, they're the kind of drivers that can be reliable in the right machinery, but they haven't got the right machinery, so they're not going to be sort of reliable, consistent, and, well, good.
Yeah,
I think it's showing them up a bit.
I think Gasly could be that. I think Ocon's attitude will always get in his way.
Yeah, he's still got the temper on him.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can't tell if he seems like quite a nice guy outside of the cockpit, but then inside the cockpit, he's a bit of a knob.
Lee may have differing opinions on that all round.
He seems like a bit of a knob in the cockpit, and outside the cockpit, he seems like Ocon.
So we've got the Australian Grand Prix this weekend. The first Sunday race of the season, except for those on the west coast of the US where it's still Saturday night. What do we reckon we're going to see this weekend? I'm just throwing that open to the floor. Anyone can answer.
I mean, you're going to have to be a brave man to not bet on Max Verstappen again, aren't you?
Can he do the 24?
No. He can't do the 24 because even though it's a completely different design concept, the Red Bull is as it is, I don't think he can still do Singapore. Generally, the teams who dominate can't do Singapore. He could do the 23, though.
Yeah, I think he could end up breaking his own record for wins in a season.
Yeah. Oh, I think he will do that. Because is it 19 that he got last year?
Yes, it was.
I think that's doable.
I mean, in the
how is he not getting bored at this point, though?
Because his dad tells him he's not allowed to get bored.
I like the way that in the... Was it the night of practice and the night of qualifying at Jeddah, he was still on his iRacing portable sim at 3 a.m.
Yeah.
Someone logged in and went, it's fucking Max Verstappen, he's at 3 a.m. What are you doing? Got a race tomorrow.
Yeah, I bet he's gutted that he can't actually do the 12 hours of Sebring this weekend.
Yeah. He could probably afford to do it.
I mean, yeah, actually, one of the races starts about 2 hours after qualifying finishes, so there's time.
Are you doing it, Paul, this weekend, Paul?
Yeah, we've got a team in, so I'll be watching out for Max Verstappen in one of the much higher and professional splits than the one that we end up in.
Yeah, when you message group saying that, you know, you're in the... What was it? Was it the Daytona one about 4 or 5 weeks ago?
Yeah, the Daytona 24.
I sort of turned to Jane going, would you believe it? Max, these are the same race as Max Verstappen. No, there's a few leagues between you, I hear.
Just a tad. although, I have been on track on iRacing with Max Verstappen, and everyone's sick of hearing this story, but I once overtook him.
but didn't you then panic and crash the car?
Yes.
That still counts, though.
It still counts.
I one time was at a bar and I was playing pub trivia and Bill Gates walked in and we beat him. Now, did we beat him because he left early? Maybe, but a win's a win. So if I count that, I think you get to count overtaking Max.
The fact that I was in a Le Mans prototype and he was in a GT, so there's about a 60-mile-an-hour difference between the two of them, nothing to do with it.
No,
I still drove past him and then he got to laugh at me plowing into a wall because I got overexcited that I'd overtaken him, and that clip is still in circulation somewhere.
I imagine he says that a lot, doesn't he? I just overtook Max Verstappen. It was the greatest thrill of my life. Oh, fuck.
You're taking notes for your next book now, aren't you?
Absolutely. We're getting all kinds of good material.
I think when I was like a baby or so, my dad used to work at Chessington World of Adventures, which for American listeners is a bit like a Six Flags just south of London. And he got carved up in the car park driving home once. And he shouted out the window, learn to fucking drive. And looked out and went, oh shit, it's James Hunt.
Amazing.
Yeah, but he was notorious for sort of carving people up and crashing. So,
yeah.
you know, off track and on track.
Yeah. And that's for James Hunt.
But yeah, going back to Australia this weekend, it's really a question of who do we think is going to be the second best team behind Red Bull? Because you can't see past Red Bull, and Perez is now looks to be getting quite a bit out of this year's car and doing second place, which is where he's meant to be.
That shows just how strong that car is.
Mm.
You know, it's it, because I think last year there was a little bit of Max magic with how far ahead he was when you could compare him to Perez. But the fact that Perez is up there as well now, I always get angry about people that turn around and say, you know, there's a couple of race wins and they say, oh, I wonder if this team's going to win every race this year. But I've got a real feeling for it this year that like Max is going to win every Grand Prix.
I think the only question mark is, as Kieran said, is over Singapore. But I mean, if Red Bull get that right, then let's just give up on 2025 now, and let's just move straight to the new regulations and give Red Bull the title for next season as well.
Can't give up on 2025. Alonso in a Mercedes. I've turned into Lee on this one. I'm hoping, you know, Alonso and Mercedes.
I'll tell you what, though, do you think that's the right move now?
No, so he's going to do it.
Because, I mean, if Mercedes are hell-bent on sticking that new lad in the Mercedes at some point...
Who isn't as fast in F2 as everyone thought he was going to be.
Doesn't seem to be, does he? But... if that's kind of where they've still got their eyes, it's depending on where he thinks Aston Martin are going to go next year, and if they can make this big push forward with the new facilities, it is a slight move up, but it's not up, is it? It's not like a move forward. It's like a move diagonally. It's just further up from a step sideways. He'll be at risk of not having control of ending his own career if he wants to. You know, like, because I think basically he can stay in Aston Martin for a little bit, can't he? You know, it's there. I think that I know it's Stroll, but I think there's more chance of them of Lance being replaced before Alonso.
I think whereas... Alonso's got that seat as long as he wants it.
Yeah, I think so. So, unless they go for Max, then Alonso goes to Red Bull. Then championships are on.
Spot on.
Yeah,
you take Alonso and maybe Danny Rick. Not to say Perez gets ditched where that happens, because he's obviously having a very good start to the year. But I think you take Danny Rick still.
Yeah, I think you do that if you're Red Bull as well, because the can you imagine the press that comes with being the team that allows Alonso to like finish his story and get that third championship?
Hmm.
Yeah, you'd never have to buy a drink in Spain again.
Ever.
But as far as this weekend goes, Ferrari have shown that they may not be making as many mistakes. And how we haven't had a chance to talk about it before, because we didn't do a show last week, because I do apologise. I was swatting up for something. Just remember, people from work listen to this, so I have to be cagey.
That's a riddle trapped in an enigma.
Yeah,
now.
No, I was actually revising. I was actually revising for an exam, and work wants to know that I'm actually doing my revision. So yeah, I mean, we didn't actually talk about this, but Ollie Bearman, how well did he handle the pressure?
Amazingly.
Yeah.
You know, after what happened with Nick De Vries, you can't really say, oh yeah, he's going to have a massive career. He's going to be great, because, you know, that really didn't prove to be the case. But just to get parachuted into the team on Friday morning.
Yeah.
And then
an hour in the car before quali, hasn't driven a Formula One car for 2 years. I think he got a test in a Haas in 23.
It was towards the end of 23. I think it was at Mexico.
Was it?
But he only did five minutes on soft tires before qualifying.
Yeah, and then you've got to take into consideration where he was dropped in. It's like, was Nick De Vries, was that Italy?
Yeah. Is it Monza?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, Monza is like a famously sort of easygoing circuit on drivers. You know, there's not like a load of technical bits to it. He got dropped into like the most dangerous fast track on the calendar now.
Mm. I mean, he'd already proved that he could drive it pretty well because he'd got himself pole in F2.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's one of those, it's like, you've got pole, but you're not taking part in the race. But here's a Ferrari. It's like, I don't know whether to laugh or cry.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's sort of stunted his progress in F2 this year so far, because he had a bad weekend at Bahrain. Then he doesn't even take part in Saudi. He loses the points he gets for pole. But who cares? He drove a Ferrari.
And now he's got F1 points, and he's ahead of quite a few drivers in the Drivers' Championship.
Oh, and that's the other... what this has done is it's relegated someone who's in all the races to 21st, hasn't it? We're going to have another 21st place.
Yeah.
And it'll probably be...
Logan Sargent?
Yeah.
Yeah. American Lafitte.
Ah, my favourite early George Lucas film. It was him, wasn't it? Didn't he do American Graffiti?
Yes, he did.
I think so.
Thank fuck for that. Okay, edit that bit out. We'll smooth out of the laughter and then move to the next witty retort from someone else.
So, yeah, I reckon we might get a bounce back from Ferrari this weekend. I think we could see them as being the second team. Anybody else got any opinions?
I think you're right. I think we'll see McLaren more on pace with Mercedes as well.
Yeah, I think Mercedes is an odd one because Australia's hasn't been Lewis's favourite circuit for a while.
No.
Always been good for McLaren's.
Mm.
Home race for Oscar, maybe he'll have a little extra motivation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Scores last year when he wasn't completely in tune with it as well, that was.
Yeah, when the car was an absolute shed as well.
Mm.
Now the McLaren isn't a shed. Sticking my slightly thinner neck out here. Top six?
Let's be fantasists. Let's say podium.
Yeah, why not?
I can say whatever I want. I haven't done my predictions on the prediction thing yet. I need to go on that. So
that's because I haven't actually set them up properly yet.
Oh, right, okay.
So the Predictions League will be available at 3legs4wheels.com by the time you get to listen to this. Guess what I'm doing as soon as I hit the stop button on the recording software.
Sorry about that.
Yes, that's all right. You just reminded me. It's like, oh, shit, I forgot. It's been a busy week.
Yeah.
You know, I left and rejoined the band.
Yeah, ooh. Daniel Ricciardo needs to do something this weekend.
Yeah, not least because it's his home fans and that adds double pressure, but
yeah,
also because he's, at the moment he's a better hotel sexer than he is than he is F1 driver.
Before well, that, the internet stuff,
I mean then. Anita's book.
Yeah, it's Red Bull. It could mean anything now.
So Danny Rick did hint that there was possibly something wrong with his car last weekend. So I really hope there was, because getting out qualified by half a second by Yuki Tsunoda is not a good look.
It's horrible, isn't it?
Mm.
I do think it was a bit odd, and it makes me wonder whether it was a bit of creative editing to cause some drama for after the race. But it seems weird that it took like 3 days for us to find out that he had a 40-second pit stop during the race, though.
Yeah, it just sort of went unmentioned, didn't it?
Yeah, and but there was a little bit of me, like the conspiracy theorist in me, which is most of me. Like I was sort of thinking to myself, well, I wonder if they've just done that to create some headlines.
Yeah.
Which cat is that in the background?
One of them. It's outside as well. I've locked them out of the living room.
You've just reminded me about Tinfoil. I've got a story to share. Definitely off air because it involves the police turning up.
The band or the force?
It was a sting operation.
Yay!
I regret nothing.
I think I've also got something that I want to question off air, but it doesn't involve the police, but it does involve, let's say, someone called Kate M. No, that's too obvious. Kate Middleton. I'll ask that off air. Why not? Let's.
Yeah. Oh, she did.
you missed that one. We'll drop some Jack in at some point, I'm sure. trying to bring things back.
Sorry.
What, like Kate?
Anita, welcome to our world.
I've got holiday giddiness. I'm on a flight in 10 hours' time.
Not a Boeing, though.
Thankfully not. Good.
I'm going to be a...
How cheap those flights are now?
Are they?
Oh, yeah. I just booked a flight on Alaska Airlines, which is the airline where the door came off. It was like $100 round trip.
Jesus Christ.
I mean, the joke that's doing the round at the minute is, how do you get to own a Boeing?
God.
I don't know.
Buy a field and wait.
That's incredible. Oh, tell you what, though, for $100, I'd have a crack in the one without the drawer on it.
I figure if I've got my seatbelt on, like, what's the risk of that?
Yeah.
It's always stuffy on planes. Not there.
Yeah, as long as you don't ask for a window seat, you'll be fine.
I'm flying to Budapest tomorrow, and this is probably going to be more for UK or Europe-based listeners. I'm flying to Budapest on an airline I've never heard of called Wizz Air, and even worse still, from Luton Airport. It's about as bad as it gets, short of Ryanair.
Yeah, I mean, you've got to set foot in Luton.
Yeah.
Is this where your pilot gets on the plane going, "Hi, everybody"?
Hi, Dr. Pilot. I don't want to fly out of Luton. I'm saying that. I chose to. It's my own fault. I've never flown solo before as well. So there's a couple of like advantages and disadvantage. Disadvantage, I have to be up at 5:30 tomorrow morning. Advantage, on Saturday and Sunday, I'm 2 hours ahead. So qualifying in F and the race, normal time for me. Well, you know, China or Japanese time. But yeah, normal time-ish. Whereas it's a 4 a.m. start in the UK this weekend, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It's going to be an early one this weekend, so we'll probably need all the sleep we can get.
4 o'clock race start?
Yeah.
Yeah.
As in lights out?
Yeah.
Get fucked.
So you'll be going dark on the chat group until about 2 o'clock in the afternoon on Sunday, then.
No, because I'll have to watch it early because my son does rugby now in the afternoon on Sunday, so I'm going to be going dark like until the rugby season stops. But the so I'll have to watch it in the morning. But yeah, I'm definitely not watching it at 4 o'clock in said morning.
Yeah, this is one of those where you don't know whether it's a stayer upper or a go to bedder.
Well, that's how the Australian Grand Prix used to be, wasn't it? Like, I remember when it like 1997, 98 time. I remember there was a few times I stayed up after being out on Saturday night to watch quali. I'd sit there like drunk watching qualifying. So I don't quite understand what's happened here.
I think it's something to do with the fact that we're not as young as we used to be, and now our choice of Australian Grand Prix beverage is a hot chocolate.
No, no, but it changed, didn't it? So where the Australian Grand Prix was like 5 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, yeah, yeah, 5, 6 o'clock. Yeah, it was an early one, but it was just about normal get up time for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's still going to be the middle of the bloody night anyway. So, right, snap predictions for this week. Okay, Verstappen win. Let's do second to fourth.
I think we should just pin that Verstappen win thing in, like, for every race now.
Yeah. Pin prediction.
Yeah. So, second to fourth, what's everyone think?
I'll take... Oh, go on, Lee.
Perez, Leclerc. I'm going to go boring and say Sainz.
Yeah. I'm going to take Perez, Piastri. Because
you have to now, because you said it.
Yeah. And fourth place, Ollie Bearman.
The fourth. Is he in?
Well, from what I hear, abdominal surgery takes a long time to recover from.
And there's only been two pictures of Sainz seen since the operation.
Yeah. I think that was a deep fake.
Yeah. That was
the Leclerc's side bit.
Yeah, one of which.
Well, Alex didn't miss two races last year, did he?
No, I don't think so. but was the back to back ones then? That would be the only thing, wouldn't it? Like, with it being a back to back race, where the Bearman might get an extra. I don't know.
He's had a week off.
Yeah, he's had a week off. I was just thinking it was a back to back, but it's not.
My prediction went downhill after Piastri, so at this point, just throw away fourth on Bearman. Why not?
Yeah, I'd love to see him in a do a second race though. Like, obviously, I want Sainz to do well. I think it is the most unfair sacking of any driver, I think, in the history of Formula One.
Even more than Damon Hill.
Yeah, I might say Damon in 97.
Yeah, probably is Damon, isn't it?
No one wants to hear the words replaced with Frentzen.
No, they don't. They really don't. Mind you, sorry, saying that, though, that was less Williams and more Ron Dennis, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, because he had allegedly signed up. Oh, he was trying to sign Damon, wasn't he?
No, well, Damon and Ron Dennis had reached terms on a contract and done a handshake, but obviously he was shaking hands with Ron fucking Dennis. And apparently Hill said, I'm sure, I can't remember whether it was in his book or whether I've seen him say it in an interview, that the first time he knew he wasn't going to drive the McLaren is when they announced Häkkinen.
Yeah, it's harsh, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm gonna have to read Damon Hill's book again. I'm not ready for a while. Anita, what do you think? Your predictions for the weekend?
Well, I'm gonna hope that Carlos is back because I'm going with him for number two. I want him to have a really good season after getting the boot there. After Carlos, I'm going to go with Checo and Lando. Yeah, I think that's my pick.
Right. I like that.
I think I'm going to go for a Red Bull 1-2, so Perez definitely second. I reckon Leclerc third, and I'll throw George Russell for fourth.
Oh, yeah.
Because Mercedes tend not to sunk massively there. Sean's only given us a top three, so she's got Verstappen, Leclerc, and Hamilton as her predictions.
Yeah.
If you want to do your predictions, just go to the website, threelegsbarwheels.com, and go to the games section and the prediction leagues in there. You get to predict the top five. of these, and whether there'll be a safety car, how many DNFs, who'll get pole if you do it in time 5 minutes before qualifying starts. If you want to get in touch with us, threelegsfourwheels@gmail.com is the usual way. Obviously, we've got the website. You can get links to our Discord on there for all the chat and all the sim racing gubbins, because I've got the 12 hours of Sebring with Team Only Fools and Horsepower this weekend. And we now have a yellow Ferrari in Trotter's Independent Traders livery.
That's amazing.
Very nice.
So thank you, Steve Everson, for that. You've done an absolutely bang-up job on it. Obviously, on the socials, we are at Three Legs Four Wheels, and individually on the socials, you can get us at
Kieran is Boring,
at The Lee Stevens.
I'm at Pablo 100. Sean is at Sean Cowper, and Anita.
I am at Real Anita Driver.
So, give us all a follow. Drop us a message, and buy Anita's books, basically, because they're well worth reading. And if you want to, after you bought them, if you want to hear them read out, subscribe to Patreon at patreon.com/threelegsfourwheels, and you will get our take on it. Thank you very much for joining us, Anita. It's been a pleasure having you on this week. And when's the next book due out?
I don't know yet. I'm still working on it. It's early days, but I will be sure to let you know before it drops.
Definitely. And if you want to come back on later on in the season, another book or two down the line, then there's always a seat here for you.
Great. I appreciate it. It's been fun, guys.
It's been great. Thanks very much. Thanks for listening. And we'll see you next week after the Australian Grand Prix. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye-bye.